Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. You can find all the information on the foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'll be your host this evening as Bob and Fran Ginsberg are taking the night off. You can certainly look forward to hearing from them next Thursday at this hour. My name is Angelina Diana, and I have the honor of interviewing this hour. We'll be speaking shortly with Colleen Morrow, who's written a very interesting book called Spiritual Telepathy, Ancient Techniques to Access the Wisdom of Your Soul. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask her in this hour, you can give us a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Before we get to Colleen, we're going to speak to you about a couple of things that are going on with the foundation, just to make you aware of the many things that they offer and the wonderful programs that are available for our listeners and our members. And membership is really easy through the Forever Family Foundation. It's free. And with that comes a lot of good stuff, including the new Signs of Life magazine, which you get mailed to your home. We like to do it the old-fashioned way here so that you get that nice hard copy in front of you and you get to read this glossy, beautiful magazine, interesting magazine with wonderful articles and information to feed your soul and also stimulate your mind. And again, that's free. And if you'd like to go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, you can sign up. It's real simple. There's other things that the foundation offers too. Online, first of all, we have these great seminars that are held online. The Visionary Explorers Group is a free online meeting that you can be a part of. It's the second Saturday of each month, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a meeting of like-minded people getting together and talking about connections and after-death communication. If you are in need of or in search of like-minded people to discuss these things, that's the opportunity for you. If you go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, there's information there on how to be a part of the Visionaries Explorers Group. Just go to our events page and all the information is there. There's some other events going on too. If you're in the New York area, there is an evening of spirit communication with two very evidential mediums, Kim Russo and Joe Peretta. A celestial evening of spirit communication will take place on October 24th from 7 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. at the Hillwood Hall, Hillwood Commons, Long Island University Post Campus. That's 720 Northern Boulevard in Brookville, New York. If you'd like some information on how to sign up for that, again, you can go to the Forever Family Foundation website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. There's other webinars that the foundation holds. The next one coming up is called Children Who Remember Past Lives. It's about reincarnation, obviously. That'll be on October 28th at 9 p.m. And a very interesting one on November 3rd, Ask the Medium, Your Pressing Questions Answered. It'll be a very interesting hour and a half, I believe. Starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and goes till about 10:30 p.m., and that's on November 3rd. We also hold for free throughout the country an afterlife discussion group. And if you happen to be in the Sanibel, Florida area, there's a free event on November 8th at 2 p.m. at the Heron Hall. That's in Sanibel, Florida. The topic there, too, will be reincarnation. And during the holiday seasons, we like to hold events because we really feel if you've lost someone significant in your life, it's kind of hard sometimes when the holidays come by. It kind of evokes old memories and brings up the grieving process. And while mediums can't cure grief, they can certainly give hope. And there are a few events coming up, pardon me, in the November-December time frame. To mention a few, there is one in Florida on November 13th with certified Forever Family Foundation certified medium Joanne Gerber. You can check out that information too on the website. And many others too. There will be the Holidays Past events that go on as well too. We have one in New Jersey with Janet Nohavik. One in Natick, Massachusetts with Joanne Gerber. And I have the honor of doing a more intimate evening of 12 people called Desserts and Discarnates. That'll be on December 18th at 7:30 p.m. That's in New York. And finally, we do have our Holidays Pass raffle supporting the work of the Family Foundation. The Forever Family Foundation is so important. And when you take place in one of our raffles, the really neat thing is not only do you give to us, but you can get back. And what you can get back is a chance to win a free mediumship reading. There's 5 mediums participating this year. So you have one chance, but you have 5 drawings, 5 opportunities, I should say, to win. So if you log on to the website, all that information will be there on how to enter. And by supporting the raffle, again, you're supporting programs like this radio show or the magazine that you'll get. There's so much more I wish I had time to go over. But if you do go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, everything will be there. There's other things going on, too, as far as how you can give to the foundation. And I know it's really hard, especially with the holidays coming up. But with holiday shopping, I can't remember the number, excuse me, that I heard online. But a lot of people do their online shopping. They're shopping rather online. And the really neat thing is the organization called iGive.com. And they basically support not-for-profits. And the way that they do that is it's really a neat thing. If you go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and on the left-hand side of the beautiful website, you'll see something that says iGive.com. When you click that on, it brings you to a site that first you register your name and email and create a password. And then once you click on, there's over 1,700 online stores, online shopping that you would normally do anyway. There's no added steps. Every single popular store, box stores out there that have websites, they're connected. Just wonderful things. I believe over $8 million has been raised so far through the iGive website to other not-for-profits. I wish it was the Forever Family Foundation, but for other not-for-profits. But if you click iGive.com from the Forever Family website and then sign up, you can help out the foundation. It doesn't cost you anything extra. You would pay what you normally pay, but iGive kicks back something back to the Forever Family Foundation, and it's really helpful. So that's a way to give without giving any hard cash out of your pocket, except for what you'd be buying normally for yourself. So if you could check that out for us, that would be really great. We'd really appreciate it. And again, all the information is at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Colleen Morrow, who is the author of Spiritual Telepathy. You can get your phone calls ready if you have any questions at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a WindBridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. My name is Angelina Diana. I'm filling in for Bob and Fran Ginsberg, and I'm very excited to tell you about our author for this hour. Colleen Morrow has written a book called Spiritual Telepathy, Ancient Techniques to Access the Wisdom of Your Soul. She has 30 years of experience in the magazine publishing world, including work as a publisher, an editor, an advertising director, and circulation and marketing consultant. A lifelong interest in the untapped power of the mind led her to launch the magazine called Intuition in 1988. Intuition explored the higher potential of the mind and many and varied ways of knowing, intuition, inspiration, and telepathy, providing both research and how-to information in easy-to-read form to the general reader. Welcome to the program, Colleen.
Thank you for having me.
I am so happy to have you here. Your book, Spiritual Telepathy, is a very informative, well-rounded book. And what I love about it is I'm a psychic medium myself, but I also love how there's a scientific and ancient history background with this book too. And it really leads you to a lot of beautiful basic things about how in ancient times spirituality and telepathy was utilized, but you really bring it forward to modern day and have really broken it down in beautiful chapters. We do have some callers waiting for you, but I want to ask you a basic question before we get started. I know you've had a lot of intuitive experiences. I'm curious what intuitive thing or inspiration led you to write this book?
Well, I had worked in alternative publishing for many, many years, and it was the late 80s, and I was living in San Francisco, and mm-hmm. I was between jobs. It was a great place to have a career in magazine publishing if you could work for East Coast magazines. I ran the West Coast offices for East Coast magazines. There weren't many magazines right in the city at that point. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to stay there, and I considered myself very lucky that I had this opportunity. And at one point in 1988, I was between jobs and wondering what I was going to do, if I was going to have to move. I was sending out resumes and researching magazines and pretty much driving myself crazy, worrying about money. And mm-hmm. one morning I woke up and decided that I needed to take a break, that I would treat myself to a worry-free day outside working in my backyard garden. And I was standing in the garden when a thought suddenly flashed through my mind, and the thought was the Center for Applied Intuition. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't the familiar type of intuitive experience. I'd always accessed intuition through feelings or body-based sensations. It was a purely mental experience. The words seemed to have been dropped right into my brain, and I immediately knew it wasn't my thought, and it certainly made no logical sense. I knew about the center, and I had met Bill Kautz, the founder. But I couldn't imagine why I would be sent there to look for a magazine job. I knew that they did intuitive trainings and they sent out expert intuitives to help businesses. So it didn't make any sense to me. But I mulled it over, then called him, and then it just went from there. I had the information and the opportunity to start a new magazine.
Isn't that wonderful? And that really is like that little spark. You don't know why you get it. Mm-hmm. And then it leads to opening up your world. And pardon me, we're going to talk more about that. But we do have some callers that are waiting on the line to speak to you. So I believe we have our first caller calling us from the West Coast. I believe Ann is still holding on the line for us. Are you still there, Ann?
Yes, I'm still here.
Hello, Anne. Thank you for holding. You're speaking with Angelina Diana, and we have our author here, Colleen. Do you have a question for her?
Well, actually, I'm so new to all of this.
I think we have a bad connection. Can you say that again, Anne?
I'm trying to...
Hello?
Okay, how's that? Is that better? Hello?
That's much better.
Can you
That's
hear me?
Much better. I think we're having a little technical issue with the universe here. Do you have a question for Colleen, Ann?
Well, I have a daughter that passed away
In
2013. And when she was little, she told me she wasn't going to live to 21. Mm. And she was very spiritual. And, you know, I never really experienced that, but I believed her. And so now I know she's contacting me and she's with me. And I don't really know how to explain all of this, but now that I've found your website and have been listening to some of these mediums and your guest speakers and now reading about maybe this is true and this is her and we are still connected and Well, one of the things that I have an older daughter that just got married last month, and I printed a picture of my husband and I at the wedding. And you know how people say, oh, yeah, well, she's here in spirit. And I know she was there. And so when I printed the picture, there was a little round dot on my husband's arm on this picture that I printed. And I'm like, see, there's your proof. She was there at the wedding. And, well, you know, some people believe me, some people don't.
Well, I think, Anne, it's a matter of what you feel from within, right? Colleen, can you fill her in on some of your thoughts about perhaps a personal spirit communicator and where that getting a personal spirit communication and where that comes from? And maybe we'll jump a little ahead and how you access that. Can you give our listener some insight into that?
Sure. I think the information always comes telepathically, and that's that's the definition, really, of spiritual telepathy. It's communication from the subtle worlds, from our souls or from the souls of others. And when we get information from beyond the physical world, it's always telepathic. We don't audibly hear the information. The information is just dropped into our brains, and we suddenly have that realization. I've had this experience, too, with my father and a few other family members that have died.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, Anne? You know, if you think about the subtle telepathy and the communication that you're getting it from within. So it is a personal experience that you're having. So I think we do that sometimes, Colleen, when we've had a loss, we're wanting everyone else to believe, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, could you clarify for our listeners, because it's a question that's asked a lot, like, how do we know it's real, right?
Well, I think that's a hard question to answer. I remember when I had a communication from my father, I called my mother and she said, well, how do you know it was him? And I said, I can't answer that. I just did. I mean, we just know.
Right.
Information drops into our brain, and we just know in our bodies that was communication from a particular person.
There you go, Anne. So I hope this helps you. Just having that knowing, you know it's your daughter. So thank you for calling the program. We really appreciate it. We have Maria on the line. I believe she still is here to speak to Colleen. Are you there, Maria?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
We're doing great. Do you have a question for Colleen?
Yeah, I was just wondering, I had some questions about me and an ex-boyfriend, Danny, if there was any possibility of us working it out or what might be going on, if you could tell me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is not an intuitive mediumship reading. We're speaking with an author about telepathy. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Thank you for calling the program, though. I'm sorry about that, Colleen.
No problem.
What I was hoping we could talk about was, we're going to jump ahead a little bit, is because we had the first person who called in. I was very fascinated with what you have developed on a personal level for folks to contact their soul and to be connected to that. A lot of people throw around the word meditation, but I love the way that you've precisely put that together for people so that they can experience it on their own and not feel the pressure about it. Could you fill in our listeners on that?
Sure. We make contact with our souls through the daily practice of creative meditation. Mm-hmm. Many meditation practices focus only on quieting the mind. In this particular type of meditation, we go a step further, and we actively train our minds to transmit information from the soul to the brain. The information has to reach our brains to become part of our conscious awareness. And in the same way that our homes are wired for telephone and internet connection, this type of meditation allows us to create the threads and cables that will link us to the higher worlds. And we do this by projecting our attention upward to the soul day after day while in meditation. We visualize the soul as a star about 6 inches above our heads. And as we do this day after day, we anchor small threads of energy that will eventually, thread by thread, form a symbolic bridge between the mind, the brain, and the soul. Mm. The bridge is called the Rainbow Bridge or the Bridge of Light in the Wisdom Teachings. It's called the Antakarana in the Hindu text, and it's called the Straight or Narrow Gate in the New Testament. I discovered that this teaching actually exists at the core of every one of our religions, called different things and explained in different ways, but this is the core teaching This is how we extend our consciousness beyond the physical world into the subtle worlds.
So if someone was just beginning this journey, or even if someone has been studying for a long time, having this technique or understanding the process, do you find in your experience, does it matter the level of where you're starting on your journey that people can start to see results? Or do you feel that it's up to a certain type of personality or intention that somebody creates that they can start seeing signs or results or information?
Well, the first step in any kind of meditation practice is mind control. We have to learn to quiet the mind. And once we do that, the bridge building can start. And so that's something that we do in a preliminary way. I belong to an esoteric school, and we spent quite a bit of time just on that basic mind control and mind taming process. And then you start to build the bridge.
Yeah, so it would kind of depend on the kind of personality you are. Because some people tend to have that natural ability to separate the physical world and calm their mind, and some people are the opposite, correct?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all training, because no mind really wants to stay focused. We're so used to our attention being scattered that we have to start there. And it's easier for some people than the other. And in fact, I had a really hard time with it, and this sort of leads into another subject. And it's about what is called the refinement of our physical, emotional, and mental bodies. Mm-hmm. And the reason this is important is that we have to create a direct line of communication between the soul, the mind, and the brain. And to do this, we have to purify the body and quiet our minds and emotions. If we are ill, if we have fatigue or mental or emotional static, it makes it hard for our brains to register higher wisdom and ideas. And these so-called refinement practices are part of all of our spiritual traditions, and the methods vary from one tradition to the other, but the requirements and goals are exactly the same. It's purity of body, control of the emotions, and stability of mind. And in the book, I included the refinement practices that have helped me the most: harmlessness, the nightly review, and meditations on loving kindness, forgiveness, and compassion. What I discovered when I got really serious about quieting myself down was that I was walking around with a huge amount of anger and resentment. There are people I needed to forgive that I was having a really hard time forgiving. And whenever you get quiet, all that stuff's going to bubble up, and it's going to get in your way. You can't really you can't really quiet the mind when your emotional body is really agitated. So I finally asked for some help. I went to a spiritual healer named Stephen Lumiere, and his prescription, so to speak, were these meditations on loving kindness, forgiveness, and compassion. And he had me do all three every day for an extended period of time, and it really helped. I was starting to calm down and starting to be able to quiet my mind. Jack Kornfield talks about this a lot, too. He said that when he first started to teach meditation, he discovered that at least half of his students were unable to master even the basic concentration exercises because they had so much unresolved emotional problems and issues, that's really essential. And he's been a real pioneer in bringing Western psychotherapy into contemplative Eastern traditions, because he recognized very quickly how important that was.
Now, when someone goes through the process of starting to meditate and calming themselves, they can find themselves shifting in some of their physical world preferences. I remember reading in your book that you found yourself, and I would imagine it's maybe because of the meditation of harmlessness, that you weren't a strict vegetarian, you know, but over time, you know, just the act of even eating something like fish became difficult for you. Can you explain a little bit more about that and the different stories that you've heard about that, so that if someone has gone through this, or when they start to meditate, they won't be surprised if those things start happening?
Yeah, you know, it was a stage, and I've talked to other people about this, and they had that same experience. I think what happens is that we're refining the physical body, we're raising our vibration, and it gets lighter and lighter, and meat has a heavier vibration. So I went through a phase where I couldn't eat it at all. I never was a red meat eater, but I ate fish and chicken. And I got to the point where I couldn't even stand the thought of chewing even fish, you know, just made me sick to my stomach. And that lasted for maybe a year. And then I started to I feel like I wasn't getting enough protein and just gradually added back some things into my diet and just kind of balanced it. I just experimented and just kind of balanced it out.
I know it's the same for like a lot of mediums too. Like before they do work, they stick to fruits and vegetables and green veggies and things like that because of how it connects and how it makes you feel. So folks, don't be surprised if you start after you read this book and you follow the steps in it, and that you find your reaction to the physical world slightly shifting, and it's usually for the good. You know, it's tipping the scales towards connecting with the soul and the spirit, and then looking at the world through that aspect versus the other way around, I would imagine.
Well, it makes sense, because when we contact the subtle worlds, we're contacting a higher, finer vibration. And so when we eat vegetables and other sort of high-frequency foods, we're creating a body that matches more easily that kind of vibration.
It's very fascinating. It really is. Why don't we talk about the three types of telepathy?
Okay.
So people can get a sense of what that's all about, because it's very fascinating in your book how you break that down.
There's three types of telepathy. The lowest is instinctual or feeling-based telepathy, and we share this type of telepathy with the animal kingdom. It's still used as a means of communication in indigenous cultures. The second is mental or mind-to-mind telepathy, and the highest is spiritual or soul-to-soul telepathy. And what I like about this teaching is it illustrates the progression of our perceptual abilities from the instinct of early man to the intellect of modern man to the pure intuitive knowing of future man. And we're right at that doorway now where we can take a step beyond the physical human world into the superhuman worlds.
And that's really needed now in these days, don't you think? I mean,
absolutely.
Don't you find that that's why people are kind of gravitating a lot towards this work?
Absolutely. I think it's absolutely essential. And the reason is that everything changes. Once we make contact with a soul, everything, we lose our sense of separateness, and we realize that we're part of a great universal life, the soul of humanity, and we find our place within that greater whole and experience our interconnection with all of life. And you can imagine how the world would change if a critical mass of people made this shift. Barbara Marx Hubbard has written that those of us on Earth today are the crossover generation, responsible for leading the way from one stage of our species evolution to the next. And Eckhart Tolle talks about this too, but in more stark terms. He writes that as a species, we have the choice to evolve or die. They both say that evolution happens as the result of some sort of crisis that propels or forces us to make a leap forward. Tolle uses the example of an amphibian who's forced to develop the ability to live on land after its habitat dries up. Our own habitat, our own world, is in trouble now, and we're faced with that same need. Our world is full of conflicts. We have weapons that can extinguish the human race, and we need to make that leap not onto land but into the subtle worlds.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Colleen Morrow. She's written a wonderful book called Spiritual Telepathy, Ancient Techniques to Access the Wisdom of Your Soul. We're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this fascinating topic. Please stay with us.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Science of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. You can see all the information about the foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. My name is Angelina Diana, and I'm filling in for Bob and Fran Ginsberg. And we have our wonderful guest, Colleen Morrow, with us. She's written a fascinating book called Spiritual Telepathy. Welcome back to the program, Colleen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we were saying off air, I mean, this book, it is... eight chapters long, with of course more additional reading and notes and things like that, but it is packed full of information to the point where there's so much we can talk about. There really is. But I was hoping you could touch upon chapter three. Let's start there with the three minds. Mm-hmm. I was kind of curious if you can fill in our listeners about that.
Well, that's part of the esoteric philosophy, that there's three aspects to the mind. Mm-hmm. There's the rational or lower mind. There's the soul, which is considered a fragment of the universal or divine mind. And then there's the higher or the abstract mind. And that level of mind actually allows us to tap into the divine will or thoughts of God. This is the highest aspect of the mind. And the bridge building that we were talking about earlier, when we do creative meditation, allows us to create the gaps, that fill in the gaps, rather, that exist between the three types of the mind. And when we have three minds connected, then we have access to very, very high-level pieces of information that can just flow down into our brains.
Mm. So understanding from a lay person's point of view, where do you think people spend the most time with those minds?
Oh, absolutely in our rational mind. That's what we've basically developed in the last few centuries and what we've focused on.
And when somebody has like a very quick feeling of, like our first caller, a quick feeling of, ooh, you know, I think I had something other than the physical there, where do you think that falls under?
Probably the soul. Probably soul to soul. Some of this not in the body can contact us soul to soul. So I think that's probably what was going on.
Yeah, and what would be an example of, is it the quantum mind? Is that the one?
Well, it's called the abstract mind.
The abstract mind, excuse me, the abstract mind. What would be an example for us lay people when we have a connection separately like that?
Well, that's a pretty high level of mind, and that takes quite a bit of spiritual development.
Okay.
In the Bible, it says that we can understand the blueprint of the cosmos, the grand plan, God's plan for the universe. So this is a pretty high level of perception,
okay.
The highest level.
So then most of us walk around in the rational state, and to be able to connect the gaps between the three would be utilizing that technique of creative visualization or meditation that you speak of, right?
Yeah, and there's actually two spans, so to speak, to the bridge. The first, and this is what we're all collectively working on now, is the span between the lower mind and the soul. And then once we make that contact with the soul, then it's between the soul and the higher mind.
I see. And at some point, then the rational brain kind of goes away.
That's so right. That it's not really needed. We're sort of tapped into the universal mind.
Yeah. And that could be why I think sometimes when mediums work, we feel like we've lost gaps of our lives, because you're connecting with those other two parts. Now, speaking of someone who might be grieving when they have such a heavy sense of their rational mind, right? Because they're grieving so heavily and so deeply, and that's a lot of our listeners that are listening. Do you have some techniques, some practical suggestions you could make for them so that they can at least start maybe with the soul connection and then be able to branch out further? Any suggestions, or how would you work with someone who presented this to you?
I would say just sit down and start the techniques, the bridge to the soul, because that really also helps us have a better awareness of what's happening beyond the physical. And again, it just starts with quieting our mind and then day after day building that bridge. And one of the wonderful and remarkable things about this that I found is that it's that daily contact with the soul that really starts to raise our vibration and expand our heart, and we really start to develop a wider perspective about everything. I think it can be very comforting for anybody who's in that state.
And when I like in your book that you have a few times where you mention, for example, a new way of learning or seeds for thought. It's the voice of the soul. There's such a poetic way that you write. And I'm curious, because that's just striking me now, that you've too yourself have been on a very expansive, intense spiritual and scientific journey. You've very beautifully in this book melded both worlds, I want to say. And it's interesting too. I'm wondering if you've noticed for yourself a different way that you write through maybe when you first started your magazine Intuition to now in your growth. Where does this come from for you? Is this always been there, these beautiful words, or is it something that you've noticed in your own development with connecting to your soul and even higher up?
Well, I definitely have more of a flow than I ever have, and I really worked on this while I was writing the book, and it happened more at the end than at the early stage, even though I was dying for it to happen. And somehow I had it in my mind it would be like automatic writing, where I would sort of not be there and my fingers would be moving on the keyboard. And it's not like that at all. It just sort of mixes in with your own thinking. It's higher levels of thought, higher levels of information that just descend and are received by the brain. The brain is the receiving plate. And this factors into the whole issue of what we call genius. And this is one of the most remarkable things for me about researching this topic, that the wisdom teachings tell us that the soul is the portal or gateway to the higher worlds. When we make contact with the soul again, we have access to the universal or divine mind, which is the storehouse of all information and of wisdom and knowledge. And there was a book written in the late 80s by Willis Harmon, who was the former president of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and it was called Higher Creativity. It was one of my all-time favorite books. And in this book, he looked at the biographies of many artists, writers, composers, scientists, and inventors, and discovered that their greatest achievements came from an intuitive breakthrough. And when I started my book, I went back and read that book again. And then I went to the bibliography and started looking at his original sources. I went to the library and checked out as many books as I could find. And what I discovered when I read the full text of the interviews is that many of the people we call geniuses were talking about their creative process in exactly the way it's explained in the wisdom teachings. That is through the soul that they had access to a universal flow of information and inspiration. One of the books was called Talks with Great Composers, and it was written in the late 1800s. The author interviewed Puccini and Brahms and Strauss and Wagner and other well-known composers about the source of their creative genius, and I was absolutely fascinated by the consistency of their experience. Each of them spoke as the soul, as a portal to a universal source of information. Once they were able to connect to the source, the ideas and images simply flowed into their brain, and I included a lot of the stories in the book.
So it's almost like a reverse way that we think of ourselves in the physical world. We think we have to grab everything we can in the physical world to load our brain up.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
come to find out, there's an historical proof that it's the other way around.
Yeah, it's a higher way of perceiving. Because our
right.
rational minds are limited into what we can stuff into them. And there's a limitation on what any of us can learn in one lifetime. But if we can tap into the universal mind, we have access to absolutely all information, past, present, and future.
Yeah.
This huge storehouse. We're like, Alibaba and the 40 Thieves when he stumbles upon this warehouse of great riches. That's what we can open ourselves to.
It's really very fascinating. And as far as when you think about the pull that we get naturally in life, you know, we call it, I have this gut feeling, or I feel drawn to them. But yet our brain, most people walk around not recognizing that first gap you talk about, you know, going from the rational brain to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think, I'm just drawn to this person.
Mm-hmm.
Have you given it some thought on how even the skeptical folks or even some cynical folks, you know, they use that term, but they never, and they're smart people,
mm-hmm.
but they never think that it's something else they're accessing. And you are obviously very spiritual and very intelligent. You're blessed with both. What conversations have you had with scientifically minded folks on that gap and that experience? Are you able to bring about some enlightenment to them on a scientific view on how they can bridge that gap? Because I know I'm met up with a lot of skeptics and cynics and even folks that really want to access their soul but don't believe that they can.
Mm-hmm.
What words would you say to them?
Well, I think there's a couple different things going on. We can tease it out. For example,
mm-hmm.
the gut feelings are our instinct. And it's said that when we develop the next higher level of perception, the earlier way doesn't disappear. It just goes below the threshold of our conscious awareness.
Mm.
And part of what we did in the intuition work in the 90s was just giving people permission to pay attention to that and validating that. Excuse me.
That's okay.
And I found it very interesting over the years to see how intuition came out of the closet. Excuse me, I'm just recovering from a cold.
That's okay.
It used to be sort of denigrated as women's intuition or just something that creative artists, you know, could get away with, but, you know, the rest
right.
of us had to focus on the rational mind. And mm-hmm. over the last 20 years or so, it really has come out of the closet, even in the political world. George Bush talked about being a gut player, you know, when he made his decision
right.
to invade Iraq, and Michael Chertoff, his homeland security person, got up and at a press conference said that he had a gut feeling we were going to be under attack again. I think it was in 2007. And mm-hmm. I thought, wow, that's really a change, because in the past, no prominent person would ever admit to making a decision just
right.
based on their intuition. So that's really something that's changed a lot. And that's why I think it's time for this higher work, this soul work, because we have that foundation now that we believe in intuition. We believe in that there's other ways of accessing information beyond the rational mind. And there's a lot going in the scientific world. All the frontier scientists are studying this now. They're studying instinctual or feeling-based telepathy. I found a lot of scientific experiments that are validating this. There's a lot of experiments going on with mental or mind-to-mind telepathy. And mm-hmm. so science has really validated those two areas. The next frontier really is the soul stuff, and that's kind of, mm-hmm. we're at that brink right now.
Right. Yeah, there are a few studying the soul and trying to understand how to access that. Mm-hmm. In Chapter 8, I was really personally moved with your chapter, Become a World Server. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think about when you get a personal feeling or a personal validation, and it gives you a deep, I want to use, for lack of a better word, feeling, or a sensation that you've tapped into something that's otherworldly or beyond the physical experiences that you have. And you are then brushed with this feeling of wanting others to have it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or wanting others to experience it, or going out and doing something so that someone feels that connection too.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you have laid out some beautiful things in this last chapter. And I was hoping we could touch upon them, because there's so much. There's so much. But I'm curious first, you know, you ended with this and in this book, almost like, were you saying to the reader, okay, this is how you could tap into it. Now this is what you need to do with it.
Yeah, well, they say that the first sign of cold soul contact is the desire to serve others.
Mm-hmm.
The soul is the repository of our many lifetimes of experience. It's our highest and most reliable source of direction and guidance. The soul knows what our higher purpose is. So we understand what we're here to do. And again, being connected to the soul shows us that we're part of a whole. We're part of the greater soul of humanity. And so we want to serve other people and help other people. That's part of what becoming a world server is. We kind of lose the preoccupation with ourselves and start looking at how we can serve the greater whole. And I had a lot of great stories from people. I really enjoyed writing that chapter, because I talked to so many wonderful people about how this played out in their lives. And I think really there's nothing better than to know that you're doing your soul work.
And that's what's so beautiful about this book. It gives you a wonderful history, then it gives you a scientific aspect of really why and how to connect, from understanding the different facets of, for example, the rational mind, to connecting to the soul. And then you end the book with various, not only stories, but a guide, really, for the reader to understand how to meditate, or even a suggestion, like I'm looking here, where a meditation on service, and you really give the reader step-by-step ways to really connect to that. And I'm really drawn with the words, I am the soul, I am the light divine, I am love, I am will, I am fixed design. It's really a beautiful outline on how you could just sit with this book, read each step, say those words to yourself, and really work on filling in those gaps to connect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. Do you want to maybe I if you could, I can't imagine you want to put anyone through a meditation right now, but can you give our listeners just a basic rundown? Like, for example, your first thing is give yourself 15 minutes of uninterrupted quiet time. I mean,
right.
How many people don't do that today?
Right, right.
You know?
And we want to be able to quiet our minds. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways of doing that. There's mantra meditations or staring at a candle or a flower or something. I just do it with the breath. And then we extend our attention upward from the mind to the soul. We imagine that we're just propelling our energy to the soul, and we hold it there. So really, we're meditating within the light of the soul. And if you do it over time after time, it really does have an effect. As I said, it really does start to raise your vibration, starts to open your heart, and you start to move more into the spiritual realm. You start to feel like you're moving out of the physical into the spiritual and kind of balancing that. It's been really wonderful for me. It's really made a huge difference in my life.
Have you worked with the five psychic senses through your meditations?
I'm not sure what that is. What is that?
I think you write of it. I don't think it's outlined. I'm just curious. The clairvoyance, clairsentience, mm-hmm. clairalience, clairambience, clear feeling, tasting, smelling,
mm-hmm.
All of those.
Right.
That's considered
all under the realm of the emotional body. That's
mm-hmm.
the psychic center. And mm-hmm. what those are is that they're higher correspondence to our physical senses. So that's
okay.
The next step up. But there's actually even higher. When you get to the soul level, you have even a more higher perception of those same perceptions. I don't know quite how to say this, but you even have
right.
a higher level of our physical sensations and perceptions.
So when you say that, is there just more evidence of it, or it feels more streamlined? Is it just more present?
Well, these are pretty high states. So what we have is essentially our testimony of saints and sages who are telling us about their experiences. These are
gotcha.
Yeah, pretty high level states.
Well, I have to say, I don't know if I've done your book justice because there is so much in here. Colleen Morrow, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Her book is Spiritual Telepathy. I believe it's available everywhere, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You can go
to my website if they want to read the introduction to the book. It's www.spiritualtelepathy.net.
Thank you so much, Colleen. I appreciate your time. It's been a very fascinating hour.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone for joining us. And I want to remind you that your loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. Have yourself a good night.